A new exhibit at the Bishop Museum represents just the sort of reckoning with the past that Alvina Wong was just calling for. What does accountability look like? Bishop Museum wrestled with that question, and they're offering their exhibit, Regenerations. Dr. Gillian Swift is curator of archaeology at Bishop Museum and co-curator of Regenerations with archive director Leah Caldera and geneticist Keolu Fox of UC San Diego. Dr. Swift says race used to be a field of study, but it just isn't anymore.
So genetics actually did a lot to help disprove this idea of race as a construct. There's very, very little genetic variation across people and populations. It's a tiny fraction of our DNA. And then that part that varies doesn't map onto what we know as racial categories. These categories are entirely socially constructed.
Now, what are they again? What are the racial categories? Is it color of skin? Is it height? Is it body type?
Well, all of those things. I guess to answer that, I would want to go back into sort of the history of race and how we even came to understand race. And really, this has origins in early European explorers and naturalist scientists. And they're, of course, going out and cataloging the species that they see. And then there's this idea that, well, can we do this with people? Are we all the same species? Of course we are, but that is kind of the early part of this discussion. And it sort of expands into this idea that maybe people are different.
People do look different. So
of course, there are physical differences, but really physical variation and genetic variation is along a spectrum. It's not something that you can categorize into neat little boxes. We tend to do this with everything because we're humans and we need to understand things, and dealing with chaos is a lot more difficult than dealing with neat little categories. But if those categories aren't real, then that's something we have to reckon with. And that is the case for racial categories. How we study human variation today, a lot of that is with genetics, right? And we don't talk about races in that. We talk about populations. That's still not a very discrete entity with clear boundaries because people are messy. We've always moved around. We've always mixed.
You're pointing out something that people are realizing through 23andMe and everything else.
I can say definitively there's no biological reality to race, but of course there is a social reality. We still have these categories. We still think about these categories. These categories have still been used to oppress and displace and all manner of atrocities against certain groups of people, right? But the thing is, like, we invented them. They're not biologically real. Once we understand that distinction, we can start to see the social mechanisms that enable race and enable racism.
Thank you for putting that clearly. Help me with this part then. These particular artifacts that the Bishop Museum has, what are they? What do they look like? Describe them.
The Sullivan Collection, you mean? It's a series of photographs, and today they are a tremendous resource that the museum has for genealogical research. In Sullivan's era, anthropology is actually experiencing some pretty major growing pains at this time. Early anthropology really considered itself the study of race. And it's not until Franz Boas, who is often called the father of American anthropology, comes along. A few of his contemporaries and his students are transforming this idea of anthropology from the study of race to the study of culture. So this transformation is taking place even as Sullivan's doing his work.
I see.
We certainly didn't do this exhibit to specifically blame or condemn Sullivan. And, you know, people are products of their time. And this is certainly Sullivan and his research being embedded in a much larger history. The idea of eugenics was very big in the U.S. at this time.
And I've kind of forgotten what eugenics is.
Eugenics is this idea that we can use mechanisms like selective breeding to improve populations. I've read the Sullivan file that we have in the museum, and it's very clear that he does think that he's doing a good thing for everyone by promoting this idea of eugenics. We can improve people. We can take the best out of everybody. And of course, the other side of that coin is eliminate the worst. Sullivan and his contemporaries in anthropology turn these false ideas of race into a science and lend these constructions a new air of scientific credibility by deciding that we can take measurements and use objective scientific measurement to categorize and classify the physical characteristics of each race. All of this is now discredited, I have to stress. All of this is building a scientific endeavor onto a false premise. And so, you know, the thing about science is that it self-corrects over time, but the problem is popular imagination, political imagination, all of these things are slower to take that in and slower to change.
Right.
So Sullivan was actually working for the American Museum of Natural History in New York under Henry Osborne. He was invited by the Bishop Museum to come to the museum under a joint appointment. And so he was invited to be part of the Bayard Dominic expeditions. This was a much larger anthropological expedition that the museum was undertaking. There was this idea at the time, which is to solve the problem of Polynesian origins. And of course, there are also kind of racially charged assumptions happening there as well. The Hawaii studies were never published, but the collection was taken to be displayed in an exhibit in conjunction with the Second International Congress on Eugenics, which was presided over by the AMNH director, Osborne.
We're talking about changes, you know, that have been taking place in anthropology. Tell me about the changes that had to take place at Bishop Museum in between then and now.
I think this exhibit is a pretty big transformation in how we view this collection and how we will continue to curate the collection. The collection really is under the purview of my co-curator, Leia Caldera. But one of the things that's happening that I think is really amazing is everything we've collected, all of the archival research, all of the stories that we've collected from the descendants that we've been working with, all of the interviews that we've recorded with the descendants, all of that is now going to be archived as part of the collection. We wanted to be very honest about the origins of the collection. We didn't want to shy away from our responsibilities in that. We also wanted to make sure that that aspect of the story could be drawn into present day, that these issues haven't gone away, that they manifest in new ways now. But ultimately, the thing that is most important to us is the way that this collection has transformed. And that transformation has been led by community members, by taking the collection out, by being able to share this outside of the museum walls, and having especially Native Hawaiian descendants who are doing their own research and making connections with their family members. That is what is leading this transformation, and we wanted to celebrate that first and foremost and to offer a space for them to share their stories with us.
Dr. Jillian Swift is archaeology curator at Bishop Museum and co-curator of Regenerations. Saw a good number of thoughtful people in that exhibit last weekend. Time well spent. Bishop Museum is open every day, by the way. Mahalo to the Ohana Kaokai from Puna, Hawaii Island, with Ohana Kaleohano and Wentworth, and the Ohana Ho'olapa from Kona, along with the Ohana Duvoshel from Puko'o Molokai and the Ohana Akona from Koloa Kauai. By contributing their stories, these families have generously helped transform one of Hawaii's cherished institutions.